Well, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday service. Thank you very much for coming. It's the 21st of March. My goodness, isn't the year beginning to speed up already? It's lovely to have you with me this morning. I'm Steve Morris. I'm the vicar at St Cuthbert's, North Wembley. And we will be working our way through our Lent service today. So we get closer and closer to Easter and this great journey of Lent. So we begin. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Let us confess our sins, remembering before God the times we have fallen from temptation and into sin. I invite you now to take a moment just to bring to God anything you'd like to say sorry for. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we move on to our reading for today. It's from the Gospel of John, and it's John 12, beginning at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. It's a very, very, I suppose it's a kind of troubling time, isn't it? I mean, I imagine that Jesus' followers wouldn't have really quite known what to make of it. They've seen the extraordinary power of him. They understand something of him. And yet now here he is talking about eternal life and talking about death and something good or new or coming out of death. And I think that maybe they just weren't quite on the money, really. But let's work through it and see what we learn. What you notice at the beginning, what I notice, is that usual wonderful sense of realism that you get in the Bible. It just doesn't read like a manifesto. This is how it begins. There were some Greeks. They've come up to worship, and they go to Philip, who was from Bethsaida, and they ask him if they could just see Jesus. And Philip then talks to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip go and talk to Jesus, and he says no, really. And you've got to kind of think, imagine yourself back into that period. I mean, Jesus was becoming a kind of minor celebrity in a way, and the Greeks that had come, did they really want to hear wisdom from the Lord, or were they just kind of wanting to add him to a list of people, like celebrities? These days you take a selfie, wouldn't you? And I think that's really what they were at. They were there. They just wanted to get a bit of reflected glory. Now, that's all well and good, but I think it also says something. You can imagine, can't you? Philip and Andrew are beginning to get a bit carried away by all this. They're beginning to kind of become an entourage, and they're kind of gatekeepers to Jesus's time. And they probably think that they themselves might be a bit becoming minor celebrities. And in these circumstances, you know, pride can so easily take hold. And I think that's really what's happening here. They're, of course, corrected because Jesus begins to explain something. He explains that the Son of Man is about to be glorified. And then he talks in this image of a grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying. And then if it does that, then lots of other fruitfulness comes from it. It's one of those great paradoxes that in the Christian faith, it's in the face of death, the death of Jesus, comes a completely fresh start and new and eternal life. And I think that's one of the wonderful pictures that we have of Christ and his mission. He then goes on to say, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it. I've often wondered what that really means, you know, and I think I get it. I think it's saying that our priorities, if our priorities are all on this world, you know, like kind of, it might be just making money or, you know, idolizing our house or whatever it might be, we somehow are not in the right frame of mind to accept the upside down world of God. In a way, the thing about if we kind of pin our hopes to the mast of this world, it's inevitable that the stuff that we have and we get and we strive for will never really be enough for us. You know, in the end, it doesn't matter how many watches you've got or whether you've got an expensive fountain pen or it doesn't, even your work doesn't matter. In the end, none of it does, because in the end, we're heading to glory. And I suppose it's a beautiful way of helping us to get our priorities right. We can love so many things about this world and they're brilliant. You know, the world is a great place. But in the end, many of those things are just for our enjoyment now, and they're not really part of our great journey to eternity. I don't know what you think, but I find that very comforting. Amen. So friends, let's turn our attention to prayer. Father, we thank you so much for those surrounding us who love us and care for us. And we are so grateful for the sacrificial love that's been shown towards us on so many occasions by so many people. Father, we pray for our country and our leaders, politicians, leaders of the police force, leaders of the church, anyone, Lord, who's got a position where they're kind of helping and being part of our great society. And we pray for them that they have wisdom, that they know when to act and when not to act, and that you keep them in good health, Lord. Especially we pray for our Prime Minister and our royal family and such things. Father, we do pray very much for an end to the cancer and curse of racism. Father, we so do. We ask you to raise up people of not just good standing, but who really understand the issues and can help us to make progress. Father, we pray for the beautiful churches of St. Lawrence, Cowley and St. Cuthbert North Wembley, that you would fill us with hope and joy and vision for the future. And I invite you now to lift up to God the names or name of people that you're worried about and that you're praying for. Let's do that right now. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we now exchange the peace. I encourage you, if you're with someone, to exchange it with them. If not, you know, just make a note to text the peace to someone or to ring someone up and offer them the peace of the Lord. When Jesus came, he offered us his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Amen. So, friends, we're now at that part of the service where we enjoy, we are part of the great Eucharistic prayer. I invite you to listen to the words. I know at the moment that we can't take the bread and the wine, but we can listen and we can participate in the way that we're able to. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ your Son. For in these 40 days You lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise you, we bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his commands, send your Holy Spirit that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine again. He praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we share in the one bread. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, we are not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and we shall be healed. I invite you now to take some silence and just allow God to minister to your heart, to speak with you, to be with you, and just allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you and give you a moment's peace. Let's take some silence. so, friends, we reach the end of our service today, and we send you off with a blessing. May Christ give you the grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And I leave you with a prayer of St. Cuthbert. Living God, who called his servant Cuthbert to proclaim the gospel and endued him with a loving heart and a gentle spirit, grant us grace to live as he did, in simplicity, humility, and love for the poor, through Jesus Christ, who came among us as one who serves and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.